All right, well, family, everyone joining us, if this is your first time, we are so glad you're here. If this is your 100th time, we are so glad you're here. Man, church looks different, but God is doing some incredible things.
I'm going to kind of jump
right into things.
You can also find more information about us at
gotothewell.church.
Or find us on
week,
Facebook.
Perhaps, of many of
and remember,
your lives.
You are loved.
A little crazy. Again, I didn't realize how much this sermon series title was appropriate until it really got into it. Oh, man, this is crazy. The longest election week of my life. But here we are. You made it. You survived. Some of you are crazy excited. Some of you are brokenhearted. But the good thing is we're unified under Christ, not a political affiliation. And so now we get to continue to move forward. I did appreciate all the incredible memes about Nevada during this week. And I'm laughing right now because now you all know what it means to be a church and you have those late people that come in. Yeah, you're all from Nevada. I'm just going to assume that because you take your time. I'm just kidding, just kidding. This is my attempt at political humor without trying to upset anybody, except for if you're from Nevada. We love you. Anyway, so make sure you say hi to everyone in the comments, subscribe, like, all that fun stuff. If you have your journal, if you're part of our Shepherd's Discipleship, you have your Lectio Divina journal ready to go. I'm telling you, today is a note-taking Sunday. Today it's a lot. The book of Revelation kind of pauses with the seven churches, and then it instantly turns into a Marvel blockbuster movie where there are things exploding from the very beginning. And if Michael Bay wrote a book in the Bible, it was going to be Revelation because there's random explosions and random creatures for no reason. And so we spent 8 weeks, 8 weeks on seven churches. And now we're going to spend 2 weeks on the rest of the book of Revelation. Okay. So if you have your Bible, get your journal out, all that stuff, get ready to write things down. We looked at the seven churches from this past these past several weeks in the city of Laodicea, and I can maybe turn this thing on. There we go. So, but this is the kind of reason. This letter is written to these seven churches for a very specific purpose. They all had an individual purpose why they were written to, and then there was this macro purpose why they were written to. And this is what Jesus speaks to the seven churches, and all the messages to them can be summarized in this way: for Christians to choose if they're going to compromise their faith or they're going to be faithful to their faith. Are they going to compromise their walk with Jesus, or are they going to be faithful to their walk with Jesus? Because as this letter is being written, we understand that Christians are being killed for sport. Not just, you know, like, oh, you did something wrong, you're going to go to prison. No, you would either be killed on the spot or you were taken to Rome. You were put in that, what's that giant, the Colosseum? Is that what it's called or is that the LA one? Yeah, okay. The Colosseum, and they would get attacked by wild animals while people who don't know Jesus cheered them on. So when Jesus gives this revelation to John, there's a real context that's happening here. They weren't being inconvenienced. They were being murdered. So the question here is, will you compromise your faith to stay safe? Will you compromise your faith to remain relevant? Will you compromise your faith to get along with everyone? Or are you going to remain faithful to Jesus? Remember, the only weapon that believers had was their love. It got real heavy real quick, huh? We recognize that faithfulness will be rewarded. We read about that in Revelation 21. But the next 16 chapters is an encouragement and a warning for believers, the original hearers of this message. And that's before you can interpret it for yourself. You have to understand what it meant to the people who it was written to. That's huge. That's like Bible 101. That's that. Even if you picked up a love letter that was written to somebody else and it brought up events you didn't understand, but you decided to make those about you, now you became a stalker and you shouldn't be reading people's mail. Come on, people. But these next 16 is written at the speed and flow of, like I said, a high-impact blockbuster movie. There's turns, there's twists, there's ups and downs, interruptions, imagery, special effects, explosions. And you sometimes go, what in the world is happening? And I thought an angel was a cute little baby with little, you know, wings. Instead, it's an angel is the same with 90 eyes and wings and things that glow and things that move. And you're like, what? This doesn't fit into my Hallmark Christianity. What is this? This is crazy. Now, there's a few things I want you to know as we get into this. We're going to have some scripture, but we're not going to read every single scripture here because we have a lot to go over. I'm going to be citing a lot of citations, and my encouragement is for you to write them down and read them on your own. You too can open up your Bible and read Revelation. You don't need it read to you. And so that is my encouragement for you. If we have time, I'm looking at my time right now, probably not. We are going to have Q&A. So if there are questions that come to your mind, go ahead and write those in the chat, or you can text them to 562-860-2407, and we will try to get to answer those questions for you next week, because next week we're continuing. So this message today is entitled Endgame Part 1, because we're going to keep going into next week. So, like I said, Bible verses will be cited. There's going to be some reading here in the beginning. You're getting like 1.5 messages more. There's a preaching in the beginning and then teaching at the end. There are no points. No points. But there is a point to the message. Okay? Got that? Cool. We're going to start off in Revelation chapters 4 through 5. This is the throne room scene. This is what we just sang about in Revelation song. Holy, holy, the Lord God Almighty. This is reminiscent. Remember, John is writing, Jesus is speaking to a highly Jewish influence, seven churches. They understand Old Testament imagery. They understand Old Testament references. This is so when you watch like right now, The Mandalorian is absolutely incredible. It's awesome. And so when you see a womp rat scurrying through the desert, if you don't know Star Wars, you're like, oh, look, there's a funny little thing running through the desert. I'm going, that's no more than 2 meters long. That is the hull of the Death Star that Luke Skywalker used to shoot with his T-16 back home. So if you have context and you have a reference to what the imagery is of before, you don't think, oh, look, Mandalorian found another green helmet. Spoiler alert, it's Boba Fett. So these things are important to understand. If you're going to read Revelation, we need an understanding of the Old Testament. Okay, we can all breathe. So chapters 4 through 5 of Revelation, the throne room, are reminiscent of Isaiah chapter 6, Ezekiel chapter 1, and Daniel 7. This is a worship service in the throne room, and I'll read it here in Revelation chapter 5. Then I, John, saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or earth under the earth was able to open the scroll to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll to look into it. So we first recognize that God is holy. You read the rest of that passage, is he's holy. Holy means to be set apart, different, not like anything else. And we come to the word worthy. Worthy means that something or someone is worthy to call holy as well. And what they're recognizing, there's nothing in creation that is worthy of God. There is nothing worthy or equal to his holiness. Nothing. And so in this hand is a scroll. Now, they didn't have bound books. They would take their writings and they would wrap them up and put them in a scroll. And if they were going to send them somewhere, you would put a seal on it. This is that Amazon tape that goes over your Amazon boxes. That is a seal from Jeff Bezos. This was such an important document. It had seven seals. And you're going to see in Revelation, seven is a significant number. In Hebrew culture, seven is the number of completion. We saw that God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. So 7 days is a sense of completion. So they seven times sealed this thing. This thing cannot be opened. Cannot be opened. Now we're going to read later about the seven lampstands, the seven churches, the seven trumpets. There's all these different sevens that we're going to see through here, and they're actually the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven lampstands. They're all similar stories about the same thing. It's from different perspectives, a lot like Matthew, Mark, Luke are the same story from different perspectives. They're still of the gospel. And so they recognize that nothing could be in here. So what's in the scroll? Is it the KFC secret chicken recipe? What's inside the scroll are God's promises to the Jewish people. What's in the scroll is the fulfillment of every prophetic word that was ever given saying God's going to return. The inside the scroll was a promise when Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, when you see the fall and God promises that the man will come and step on the head of the serpent. The culmination of the promises of God, everything the Jewish people and the persecuted church, the answer to suffering, the answer to God's final judgment, the vindication of God's people are in this scroll and nobody can open it. It's like the cure of cancer is right there, but no one can open it. This is, I want you to feel that if all the money you needed to clear your debt was in this scroll, but no one could open it. So John weeps. John cries out. Why would you show this to me? The scroll, but no one can open. No one on earth or in heaven can open this thing. No one is worthy. Not one good person, not one good person who behaved so good with their life, not one person who did everything that they could, not the person who went to church every Sunday, not the person who gave, not the person who gave their shoes right off their feet to a homeless person, all the best person in the world, nobody was worthy. And then you keep reading in verse 5, and one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that you can open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. God is worthy and willing and able to open the seal." It was him alone. It was Jesus alone. And so we get this picture of a lot of different things. And we recognize that John uses two of his senses. First, he hears. He hears the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5, talking about the Root of David. That's strange. Okay. You can look in Genesis 49, verse 9, for the Lion of Judah, the Root of David. It says that out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing the fruit of the old root. So this is a prophecy speaking of the Messiah coming out of the lineage of David. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance nor make a decision based on hearsay. He will give justice to the poor. He will make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. He will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like an undergarment. This is one of those names of Jesus we don't speak of very often. He's the Root of David, the Lion of Judah. And these are the Jewish expectations of who the Messiah is going to be. This sounds like a military leader. This sounds like someone who's going to take over. But the neat thing about Jesus and what he's sharing with the Jewish people, he's sharing with you today, Jesus is not or. He's this or that. Jesus is and. He is the Lion of Judah and the Root of David. And because after John hears the Lion of Judah and Root of David, he turns and he sees what? A slain lamb. Wait a minute. I'm expecting to see a lion. That's fierce. That's what you want on your flag, like roar, like a lion. Root of David, man, that lion's got a crown on his head. Instead, it's a lamb that's been slaughtered. He sees a crucified man, a crucified Messiah, a sacrificial, innocent animal without blemish who is killed, sacrificed in the Old Testament for the sins of the people, not for its own sin, but for somebody else. That's who he now sees. See, we recognize that God is going to speak to us of what we hear and what we see. He is not only what our expectation is, he is and more. He's not just strength, but he's our weakness. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sing a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Come on, if that doesn't get you excited about who God is and the diversity of his kingdom, I really don't know what will, because he's not just mighty, he's also sacrificial. He didn't just conquer, he served. That's why he's worthy. That's why he's worthy. Jesus both exceeds and confounds our expectations. He is both lion, root of David, and a lamb. So that was the preaching part. But now we enter these three cycles of seven and the seven seals of the scroll. So now we're going to Revelation chapter 6-8. This is where things are going to get a little crazy again. If you want to read it on your own, you're welcome to. But the seals 1-4 are actually what's called the four horsemen, or it's been popularized, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We like to think of these as like actual horsemen that are going to be raging, who are going to bring war. Then you have the other horsemen who's going to bring conquest, and you're going to bring have famine and then death. And you're looking at these things, and you go, this is what's happening right now. Yes, and it's been happening since sin entered the world. These four horsemen are representative of the things that have been destroying our earth, been destroying God's creation from the moment Adam and Eve said, yes, I want to know the knowledge of good and evil. These aren't four horsemen that are coming. These are four horsemen that are already here. We've been experiencing war since the beginning. We've been experiencing conquest. It's not just in the past 400 years, 500 years, no. From the moment Cain killed Abel, conquest was happening. Famine, people starving, this isn't new. You know what is new is our abundance of food. That's what's new. Death, I don't think you have to go into that one. These aren't new things, these are things, this is everyday life in the world. This is everyday life. This is why if there is alien life, I think they drove by Earth and said, nope, I'm good, kept going. Ain't about that. God's got their own story for them. God's like, I'm not messing with those humans. They're crazy. Seal number 5 talks about the martyrs, the Christians, those who did not choose to compromise were fed to lions for sport. This isn't anything new. This has been happening since not only through Christians, but also through God's people, the Jewish people have been killed, have been sacrificed, who have been murdered for the sake of their faith, not for their wallet, not because of anything else, but because of their faith in God. And this is huge because God wants every person reading this letter to recognize your sacrifice has not been forgotten. Your loved one that was killed by the lion last week, there's a seal just for them. God doesn't forget those who give their life for him. The seal number 6, God's response to his people who are being murdered and hunted. It's reminiscent of the day of the Lord found in Isaiah chapter 2 and Joel chapter 2. Again, this is his response to being for God's people being murdered and hunted. Then randomly, out chapter 6, I mean, seal 6, he goes into this weird intermission. Like he goes, oh, sidestep here. Let's talk about something else. You're like, wait, what about the seventh seal? This is like when you watch any reality show and it's about you about to find out who done it, and they go, next week. This is what John just does to his readers. And he starts asking this question because he wants to address those who are hurting, who are suffering. He goes, who will, this idea is, who will stand, who will survive all these seals? Who's going to survive the war, the famine? Who's going to survive? Who's going to make it out? And here we get that in another, again, this is also written in some form of poetry. So just as John heard the line of Judah and the root of David, and then he saw the slain lamb, right? So John hears the 144,000 that represents the 12, it's like 12 times 12 times 12 trip of the Jewish people to recognize that God sees his people. Those who will survive, God has a special mark on his people. He does. John hears that. Why? Because that's his expectation. It's true, though. His expectation is true. But remember, God is not or, he is and. So he hears the Jewish society, the culture, who are going to be saved during all this stuff. And then he sees, I love this, come on, all people from all nations, an ethnic mass of people worshiping Jesus, black people, white people, Asian people, South Asian people, South Americans, Latinos, everyone you can imagine. The poor, the rich, the somewhere in between. The messed up and got it all together are there worshiping before Jesus. And this is a fulfillment of Genesis chapter 17, verse 4, when he promises to Abraham that your descendants, 144,000, your descendants will bless all nations. Come on now. He doesn't just hear it, he sees it. And then he goes to the seventh seal. It's like he's like this little side tangent. He goes, okay, let's come back to this. So if you have ever had a pastor who goes on side tangents, it's biblical. Seal number seven. This begins to usher the seven trumpets. This is the beginning of the fire burning of the sacrifice of the martyrs. And this is, again, reminiscent of sacrificial language we find in Leviticus, where it says that this aroma of the sacrificing is a plea, is pleasing, is worship to God. And so now what they're saying is those who have been martyred, those who have been killed, this is now God is going to burn up that sacrifice because God is pleased with them. God is pleased with them. And not only is he pleased with them, but this brings in the seven trumpets. So now we're looking at Revelations chapter 8 through chapter 11. Come on now. We are getting things done. This is the same story of the seals, but now the imagery is now connected to Exodus. So you have trumpets 1 through 6. These are the Exodus plagues. These are the plagues that were very similar, some almost exactly like the ones that were found in Egypt in the book of Exodus, are now, again, happening because these things are happening now. This isn't future. This is just the state of our humanity. Then we go into another intermission, another side tangent. And we recognize that he does this to Ezekiel, he does this to Isaiah as well. He makes him do something kind of silly, something outlandish. So with Isaiah, he says, you know, you're going to eat a small scroll, you're going to eat it. And then he also says, take a measuring tape, and I want you to measure the temple of God. So John begins to do this, and we recognize that that Christians are the new temple. He recognizes he can't measure the temple because it's no longer a building. It's no longer a place that God resides, or the Holy of Holies is now reside in the diverse group of people he calls his church. There's a new temple, and it's you and it's me. The next thing we see is these two witnesses. They're referred to as lampstands. Now, if we remember, again, oftentimes a book's going to interpret the book. The only other place we hear about lampstands is when he's talking to who? The seven churches. So are these two, Elijah and Moses coming back to prophesy to, you know, Kirk Cameron and to be able to turn people to repentance and all these things? Maybe. But when we look at the text in the church language, this can be seen in several ways, but the most popular understanding of this is that this is the church. This is the church filled with Jews and Gentiles. This is now we are giving witness, we're telling people about who Jesus is from the Jewish perspective as God's chosen people and the Gentile people who got adopted and grafted in. Okay? It's again, going back to the prophetic voice similar to Moses and Elijah, proclaiming the God to all people. Now Moses, and again, when you hear Moses and Elijah together in a Hebrew understanding, you recognize that Moses represents the Torah and the first part of the Old Testament, and Elijah represents the prophets. So this is the New Testament hanging out together, bearing witness of who Christ is. Well, then we're introduced to the beast. It's just like, boom, rah, like that's how we kind of think. But look at Daniel chapter 7. And what happens is the beast comes through, and we'll define who the beast is a little bit more next week, is the beast comes in and kills the two witnesses. See, what happened before the witnesses were killed, people weren't coming to repentance. The church was telling people, you got to turn, you got to repent, you got to go to Jesus, you got to do all these different things, and they weren't repenting. The beast comes and kills two witnesses. And then what happens? God brings them back to life. God brings them back to life. And then nations begin to repent. Why? Because people begin to imitate and fulfill the mission of the church. And this is the mission of the church. Imitate the love and the sacrifice of the Lamb. A lot of us wants to be the church of the line of Judah and forget the Lamb. We're not just supposed to be powerful. We're supposed to be sacrificial. So we imitate the love and the sacrifice of the Lamb. Instead of killing their enemies, they die for their enemies. See, God's mercies displayed through the church will bring people outside the church into repentance. It's not fighting for our rights or fighting for our place at the power table. It's our willingness to serve those who will never serve you, to love those who will never love you. That's why Jesus doesn't say just love your enemy. Jesus showed us that we're to die for our enemy. Can't we just go back to the Revelation song? I like that so much better. But this is important in our understanding. It's not our opinion that brings people to repentance. It's our willingness to live out God's grace and his mercy. This is why it's so important that in these last days, we've been in the last days since Jesus resurrected. We are in the last days. It's not something new. It's not because someone was elected somewhere or wasn't elected or because we use barcodes or anything. It's the last days because Jesus is resurrected. He says, I'm going to come back for you. See, the church is not to be silent or to be passive. We are to be aggressively loving. Aggressively loving. The lion and the lamb. Choosing to serve others. Choosing to practice mercy. Choosing to point people to Jesus and not to ourselves. We do this with courage and conviction and not fear and conspiracies. This is why God wants us to move from conspiracy to courage. Because we're the lion and the lamb. I know that was a lot. Next week, it's going to get more. Next week, we're going to conclude Revelation, its remaining chapters. We're going to talk about the beast and God's people. We're going to talk about the mark of the beast. That seems to be a favorite thing everyone likes to talk about. Armageddon, minus of Bruce Willis. Rapture, Babylon, new creation, new heaven, new earth, all that stuff. But this is what I want you to take away from today. And then, Aaron, you can come on up. I know this is a lot. I know I kept you a little longer than normal. Maybe it is normal. I don't know. Jesus is the only one that opens a scroll. Jesus is the only one that can break the seals. And when Jesus breaks the seals, he begins to do a healing. And so my encouragement for you today, whether you're at home or you're in the courtyard, Jesus is worthy of it all. Your good behavior, your good theology, your good, you fill in the blank. It's nothing in comparison of the one who laid his life down for you and I. The book of Revelation isn't a book of secret codes. The book of Revelation is not Cold War, you know, line up the numbers with your little doodad thing over here that tells you that A's actually mean twos and twos mean C, and it's not. God's not complicated about speaking to his people, and he's not complicated about speaking to you. Would you come before the one who's worthy of it all? Would you fall on your face before him? Would you proclaim his worthiness? And would you take the attitude of saying, would you teach me? Would you lead me? Would you show me? And if you don't know Jesus today, it starts with the simple yes. It starts with the simple yes, Jesus. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will find your name in the book. You will be spared. There is a new heaven, a new earth where there is no more pain, there is no more suffering, there is no more hurt. There is just bliss in the holiness of his presence. And if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's going to be up on the screen. And again, if you have questions or questions, go ahead and list those out there. We won't be able to get them to them today, but we want to get to them next week. If this is you saying yes to Jesus for the first time, let's pray this together. Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace, and you for the first time today. I am far from you. I want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for my sins so that I can have abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life and teach me to display your love to those around me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up to those who said yes to Jesus today. If that's you, there's a link in the chat. You can text the number 562-860-2407. That way we can come in contact with you and help you on this journey of following Jesus. I like to pray for you, then our hosts are going to come back up and let you in on a few things going on. But know that you are loved by God. You're loved by this church. I am so thankful to be a part of the thing that God is doing here. So, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you for all that you are. God, I thank you for your faithfulness, your hope, your the way that you pour into your people, the way that you make clear things that are complicated to the world. You make it simple and clear and easy to follow you. So, Lord, would you continue to speak to us? Would you be upon every family that is watching, every individual that is watching, every job that is represented? Would you bring provision? Would you bring hope? Would you bring peace? Anyone who's suffering from a sickness, or whether it be physical like COVID or just a cold, or emotional, and you're going through depression and anxiety, in the name of Jesus, would you just receive healing right now? We praise you and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. We all said,
thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.